The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you for the next 30 minutes. As always, a frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction. Joining me as always, my main man, Dan Trelauer. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Craig. I'm well. It's good to be back. I'm doing well.
Yeah, I say joining me as always, but you're never here anymore. Happy to have with us another gambler in recovery like myself and Dan, Chris, checking in from California. Chris, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Craig. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, so how long has it been since your last wager?
Well, it's been a while. I haven't placed a bet since April 10th, 1982.
Wow. That's awesome. More than 40 years without gambling. Congratulations on that. What a great accomplishment.
Thanks.
Well, let's tell your story, though. Let's go all the way back to the 1980s, I suppose, or before that. Do you remember when you were first exposed to gambling? And if so, what was it? What type of gambling?
Well, I did. You know, I think my gambling problem started when I was a kid because, you know, I was always pretty good at games like chess and cards and puzzles and stuff, but I wasn't necessarily great at these games. I mean, I wasn't the high school nerd who was the head of the chess club at school, but I was just good enough to beat, you know, most of my friends who didn't play that often. Right. And so I was also really lazy. So the fantasy that I could actually make money gambling rather than doing hard work was, you know, super appealing. I was sort of like the delusional high school athlete that thought he could eventually play professionally when he wasn't even the best player on his high school team and was too lazy and arrogant to go to practice. So, you know, even though I studied probabilities and fully understood that I was, you know, statistically disadvantaged at these games, I somehow deluded myself into thinking that my skill could somehow overcome these bad odds.
So were more of a sports gambler, a horse racing guy, guy?
Yeah, so like in high school, I was like poker all the time.
Got it.
You know, I'd take bets on high school football games, and of course I'd set the, you know, I'd set the odds and the point spreads, and I'd set these ridiculous point spreads, so I'd end up being able to get these huge middles, you know. So, you know, and I thought I was so smart, but I was just, you know, I was just an addict, just playing on anything.
So, how old were you when you look back on your life with the clarity you have now? When did it become or start to become more than just casual and start going down the road of it being a problem?
Well, so by the time I was in college, you know, I was playing poker in California card rooms and blackjack in Nevada casinos with all the money I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. And so by my early 20s, I could see that something was wrong. You know, it was obvious that I gambled in a way that was really different than, you know, other than my friends that weren't, you know, big gamblers. You know, like, for example, I would drive, like, I'm from San Francisco Bay Area originally, and we'd drive like 3 hours to Lake Tahoe in the winter to ski. And my friends would all have a great time skiing, but often I could never get out of the Nevada casinos, and I would never end up hitting the slopes. And I just remember those long rides home listening to my friends talking about how great the snow was. Well, I was thinking about, you know, how the heck I was going to get money for my rent or even to cover the checks I'd written.
So Danny, let me bring you in on that, because the commonality that all of us have is that there is a moment when we are very aware, we're self-aware, that we don't gamble the way other people gamble, whether it's, you know, the time we put into it, the thinking about it, the emotional part of it. Have scientists or doctors or therapists figured out why we're aware of it, but don't do anything to stop it?
That's a complicated question, because there's a lot of different factors that will lead into that. You know, the research seems to indicate, as we know, that, you know, any kind of addiction is biopsychosocial, primarily biology, psychology, sociology, and then you start putting in environment. But it's unique to each individual. A lot of times, if it starts early, there's a massive play on ego, right? It's like, I don't do things the same way other people do, but I also think I'm better than they are. I think I'm more skilled. I think I have an advantage. You know, Chris, you just kind of laid that out perfectly. It's like, okay, I'm smart enough. I can figure this out. So it is unique to each individual. But, you know, the earlier one starts, we start looking at maybe some of those adverse childhood experiences, maybe some early experience where gambling was that fun time where they didn't see a negative to it. And even though they do it differently, it's what they grew up. An individual grew up gambling, and they saw it as a fun time. So they do it differently, but they've had a different experience with it. So maybe the person thinks they know a little bit more than what their friends do.
Chris, were you using gambling at any point as an escape, like Danny's alluding to, or no?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I mean, I was married very early, and so I, anytime you'd have a fight with your wife, you know, you'd storm out of the house and go to the card rooms. And, you know, I always said as long as I had chips and green felt in front of me, I had no problems. You know, everything was fine when I was in the card rooms of the casinos. And it was, you know, and then, of course, you know, like a lot of us do, you end up picking fights with your wife as an excuse to go out. And that, you know, that I thought I invented that. And I came into the program and find out that's a pretty common thing to do.
So as a young man, you start developing this bad habit. Obviously, you talked about, you know, the ski trips that you're in casinos on. How old were you looking back when this became an out of control habit?
Well, I would say it was really in my early 20s, because I was baffled because, you know, I sort of had this moment of clarity, this kind of self-awareness that you were talking about. And I just, you know, like I figured I'm a smart guy. I'll just stop. And what was baffling to me was that I couldn't stop. You know, I'd maybe go a week or maybe a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden I'd have this idea that, you know, it's going to be different this time. I'll only play so much money. I'll only, you know, if I lose this much money, I'll quit. I mean, all this stuff. And then I'd end up at the card rooms and, you know, and it'd be hour after hour after hour. And, you know, and the money would just keep going and I just keep buying more chips. And so it was really, you know, I was only 23 years old when I went to my first Gamblers Anonymous.
Wow. Were you baffled in the moment or looking back on it, you're baffled now?
No. I mean, I remember, you know, going, I mean, playing all, gambling all night long and the next day, you know, being in there at the casinos for 24, 36 hours or something. And then, you know, coming out and, you know, walking down, you know, with no money in your pocket, that incomprehensible demoralization and saying, you know, how could I do this again? Right. What's right. Wrong with you? You know, just that, you know, just completely baffled, you know?
And, so I guess the question I have for you is...
What's interesting is, I think there's also a chemical response to this too. Like what we know about gambling is that, you know, you become conditioned to know that you're going to win every so often. And there's the whole reward system, right? So you have the brain's reward system gets activated, you know, powered by dopamine. And what we tend to see is that participating in the gambling is as activating to an individual as winning, right? So it's anticipating, it's participating, it's winning, it's losing. These all can trigger a release of chemicals in our body. So all of a sudden we find ourselves staying longer, betting more, you know, chasing losses. So it's such a complex process and cycle.
So I guess, Dan, my question for you on that is, are we pre-programmed to react that way? We just don't know it? Or it does become more of a learned thing?
Yeah, you know, it could be both, right? And that's the hard part about it. You know, for some individuals, there could be a genetic component where we're pre-programmed based on genetics and the biology of our upbringing. It could be programming. Now, Craig, you and I see the proliferation and growth of online and mobile device. Right. So now how much does tech usage tie into this and the rapid reinforcement of using our phones and our mobile devices to gamble? So there's so much going on right now. Even media literacy is becoming an area of research around gambling to understand how does our interaction with our technology, with media, with advertising impact, you know, the environmental scans.
So, Chris, we got to take a break here in a second, but, you know, for most of us, there's a bottom of the barrel moment, you know, the night when everything went wrong and you're out of money and there's no way to get money and it's quote unquote bender, et cetera. And I'm wondering for you, before you decided, you know, to get the help you've gotten, did you have a moment like that or no?
Yeah, well, you know, as a friend of mine in the program likes to say, you know, I thought I'd hit bottom and then I found out my bottom had a basement. And, you know, but for me, I mean, the last time, you know, I'd been in GA and got a little clean time and then I still went out and gambled. And I remember coming home from a card room and I just said, what's, you know, this is crazy. I had knowledge now. I you know, I've been given information about the nature of the addiction, you know, about treatment. So I had some, you know, information. And what I learned was that self-knowledge and willpower was not a sufficient condition for recovery. And so that was really the point where, you know, I called some members that came over to my house, and that's when I really started working the program. And that's, you know, that's when I stopped gambling. And that
really?
Was in,
so it wasn't yeah. like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did A, B, and C. It was more of a collective overview yeah. on life?
Well, it was just the fact that, you know, like here, you know, again, I thought I was a pretty smart guy. And here, you know, I couldn't stop gambling. So I go to Gamblers Anonymous. They gave me the information. I learned about, you know, addiction and gambling and what's required to stop. And then, you know, and I'm 2 years into this program and I relapsed again. And then I go, well, now there's something, you know, now I'm completely, you know, this point of incomprehensible demoralization. It's like, okay, I give up. I surrender. I'll do whatever anybody suggests to me at this point. And that's when, you know, that's when things really turned around for me, when I just hit that point of surrender.
Let's take a break right there. You're listening to Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton, Dan Schlauer, and Chris joining us from California, a gambler in recovery for over 40 years now. Do you still go to GA meetings and counsel younger or new members, or have you gone past that?
No. It's been a big part and a wonderful part of my life for the last 40 years. I'm still active in the program. In fact, you know, for me, the key was working the 12 steps of GA. And, you know, so actually one of the things I did, you know, when I retired from the business world in 2015, because I sponsor a lot of guys in the program, and that's what keeps me clean. And that, I've started writing this guidebook to help working the steps. And I started getting a lot of good feedback from the book. And in 2017, I actually posted it and offer it down, as a free download on the website, gasteps.org. And so, you know, and it's been downloaded, you know, thousands of times from throughout the world. It's free. I never made a cent off of it. And, you know, I still use my guidebook and sponsor a lot of guys. I go to a ton of meetings. You know,
let me stop you there, because you said something I don't want to gloss over. You said mm-hmm. that you were able to retire. And yeah. when you said that, a light bulb kind of went off in my head. It means that you're also able to get your, you know, your poop together. Right. Right. And whatever financial issues you had, you overcame them. Whatever gambling took away from you, you got back. And the reason I want to focus on that for a minute is that Dan and I talk a lot to people who are at the early stages of recovery, who feel like the walls are caving in. They're so deep in debt, they don't see a way out of it. And then when you hear somebody like you, that someone nonchalantly, you're 40 plus years later, can talk about being able to retire at a young enough age to enjoy post-retirement life, I think we need to talk about those stories even more, because it becomes a guiding light for somebody who's at step one, who doesn't think there is a life available for them without problems, without financial considerations, and without gambling. So if you just speak to how different life is and has been for you without gambling being omnipresent, I think that'd go a long way for people who are at step one of this.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say that Gamblers Anonymous gave me the life I never knew I wanted. I mean, I had a great business career. You know, I've got financial security. I've been married to a wonderful woman for over 35 years. I have two grown sons who both live here in Southern California near where I live. You know, I travel to, you know, my wife and I travel to Europe usually and Asia usually kind of once, twice a year. You know, we own a home here in Southern California. You know, we have a wonderful and full and exciting and great life. And, you know, and I've seen people come into this program, you know, hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars in debt. And they seem overwhelmed, but they just find out, well, you know what, you put a budget together and, you know, and you start working and you stop keeping your paycheck instead of, you know, giving it to the casinos. Yeah. You know, after a while, you know, it's amazing how quickly the financial stuff turns around. People can't believe it, but if you just, you know, because a lot of times in, you know, gamblers are kind of cheap. You know, we don't spend a lot of money on anything. And so we find that once we quit gambling, you know, after a few months, it's like, wow, I got some money in the bank. And
yeah.
People don't realize how quickly that stuff turns around. So,
is there any part of you that misses gambling?
No, to be honest with you, Craig, I mean, if I had to do a lot of business in like places like Las Vegas and stuff and stay in a casino hotels and stuff. And to me, you know, and I see people gambling, it just seems like the most boring thing in the world now compared to the exciting and full life I have now. You know, I thought that I would miss gambling. At first I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to bet on the Super Bowl again. But I mean, you know, what happens is your brain gets repaired in recovery. And that's the hardest thing to explain to new people in the program is that you're not going to think the way that you used to.
Right.
Is that when you work the steps, all of a sudden, you know, those hobbies that you thought were, that you discarded, become fascinating again, relationships, family, all that stuff that you let go because of gambling, all that stuff becomes interesting again. And over time, gambling just seems like the most boring thing in the world. I can't think of a dumber way to waste my time and money now.
Final question for you, and then Dan and I will wrap it up. And I apologize if this question's offensive. I hope it's not, and I don't mean it to be. And Dan, I'm going to ask you the same question in a second.
Okay.
Do you think 40-plus years later, since you made your last wager, that you could make a bet on a game today and not have it blow out of control?
No. I mean, I have a gambling disorder, you know, just like an alcoholic can't have a beer or, a drug addict can't, you know, smoke a joint. I mean, it's just, you know, that's the nature of addiction. I'm a believer in abstinence and also it's like, why would I? I mean, I have such a great life. Why would I want to risk screwing it all up? So I don't believe I could, nor would I want to.
I love that. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on and joining us and sharing your story, and more power to you, 40 plus years. Fingers crossed I get there and Dan gets there. But I think it's great that you share your story. I really do.
That's it, brother. Take care.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Dan, so let me put that question to you. And if it's offensive, I do apologize. It's been more than 12 years since you last made a wager. Do you think you could responsibly or no?
No, I really don't. I think that singular wager would turn into, you know, if I won, it would be terrible because I'd say, okay, I knew I was right. Let me just do another one. And if I lost, I run the risk of chasing. You know, we're never recovered. And I'm of that same school of thought. It's one day at a time. It's an active process and current process. And I'll forever be a person who has a problematic relationship with gambling. I mean, that's just who I am, and I've accepted that. What about you, Craig? How would you answer?
The reason I brought it up, there's a young guy that just came into my life that I guess for lack of a better term, I'm counseling now, and I'm talking to, and his family, and he's a kid, right? He's 23 years old. And one of the things he said to me was he was hoping to get to a point in his life where he could wager responsibly. And that caught me by surprise because all the young guys that you and I both talk to, you know, gambling is now like a cancer, and we're desperate to rid our lives of the cancer, right? Once you're committed to recovery, and it's the first person I've ever talked to, counseled, had in my life who shares the problems that you and I have, who said that his goal was not to defeat the addiction of gambling, his goal was to get to a place where he could do it again responsibly. And it caught me off guard because I'm like you. I know for a fact I can't gamble. I don't care if it's $5. I don't care if it's a scratch off. I don't care what it is. I know I can't do it. I'm well aware of that. And I have no interest in doing it. And knock on wood, I'll never do it again because I just don't. I know the direction it'll take me in. And I feel blessed, you know, that I have that kind of, I've had that awakening where I take full ownership of the fact that it's 100% abstinence for the rest of my life. And I feel very good about that. But he made me think about it. You know, and all these young people that you and I talk to, as much as there's great commonality, you know, recovery is still an individual thing. We recover differently. And the fact that this young guy, and it's not his fault, like I can't admonish him for it because he was being honest with me. But the fact that he asked me, or he didn't ask, the fact that he represented to me that his goal was not to never gamble again. His goal was to figure out why he's gambling irresponsibly and get to a place where he can gamble responsibly. Yeah. You know, the only thing I could say to him was, that's not an answer. But it made me start thinking about how many people are like that.
Well, yeah, harm reduction is a real thing. And that's where you try to not complete abstinence, but now try to create a life where it still fits in there in a healthy way. And you know, it's interesting. He's thinking so far ahead. I can relate to that. I could never imagine a life where gambling was not a part of it. I just couldn't wrap my brain around that. So, but when you do it one day at a time and you start creating a new life where gambling is not the central focus and not as important, perhaps maybe he will. We don't know. But he's kind of more talking about some type of harm reduction instead of just complete abstinence. I tried every which way to have gambling fit in my life, and it just never went well. So for me, abstinence, you know, going to prison and then abstinence was the only solution. But maybe he will find it for him. Who knows?
Yeah, I think also that perspective is also different that this kid doesn't have. You lost your freedom. I lost my freedom. And
yeah,
I'm so grateful. Even though it's an imperfect life and I've still got mountains to climb financially and legally, yep. The life I live now is not a life I want to trade in for any other life. So,
nope,
you know, I'm never going to gamble again. And I'm aware of that. It was just an interesting question from a 23-year-old. That's all.
Yeah. Really insightful. Really great question, honestly.
Well, look, always good having you here, Dan. Dan's travels take him all over the globe. Gosh, campuses.
To
talk to young people. For sure. And we'll do this again next week, of course. And we are now one show away, they tell me, from our, what is it, Tommy, now? Our 250th show.
Wow.
So next week will be show number 250, which is crazy. Crazy
wow.
To me. And feel so honored and blessed that we're able to do that and continue to do it for a very, very long time to come. Dan, enjoy your weekend. Talk to you soon, and thank you so much again for listening to Hello, My Name is Craig. Joe Beningo is up next.